they're like, oh, the next season of Doctor Who's been canceled. I'm like, oh, this really sucks. And then it says, oh, he punched a Dalek in the eye stalk, and Stephen Moffat's upset because it was a really old prop. I'm like,
what the f*** is going on down there?
Hi everyone, welcome to WTF at TFW, where, here's your life lesson, okay? Don't punch people at work. Don't punch people at work. Seth Buzzard, welcome to the show.
Hey, that's what dark alleys are for.
That's right.
I work with this guy, he's from Texas.
Did you punch him?
He's got a big Texas accent. No, but like, anytime you mess with him, his default is to be like, I'm gonna kick your ass, I'll beat your ass. He always like goes straight to threatening violence. So it's one day after work, and I swing by the bank and gotta hit the ATM, and he's already there and he's using the ATM, and I kind of creep up behind him and I kind of shove him from behind and I go, hurry up. And he turns around and he's like, man, you're lucky we're not at work, otherwise I'd kick your ass. I'm like, you wouldn't want to kick my ass at work. You get fired. If you're going to kick my ass, you should probably do it here. And he goes, well, they probably got cameras or something, so you're lucky. Dude, you're always threatening to beat people up, and you've never done it ever. So just stop.
They probably got cameras or something in the bank.
Yeah, probably.
Also, another place not to pick a fist fight, a bank. Probably a bad place for it.
Well, what if there's a bank robber?
Well, you don't pick a fist fight with. Oh, actually, you know what? Maybe if you want to defend the honor of the bank, you can go like, hey, listen, right? We're going to settle this like an Outworld. It's Mortal Kombat, one-on-one. If I lose, you get to take all the bank's money. But if I win, you walk away.
The bank's like, do we get a say in this?
Peter, no.
Maybe we don't want to pick you as our champion.
No. Liu Kang didn't decide that he was going to be Earthrealm's champion. He just was.
Okay. Well, the Earth Realm didn't choose them.
Well, no, they didn't.
That's more an analog of the bank not choosing you.
Listen, in Bank Realm, things work differently, okay?
Yeah. No, don't get me started on Bank Realm.
We're here to talk to you today about Transformers. Bank Realm is for later on. But I want to start off a little story because we've got some new pictures of Combiner Wars Devastator. And Seth, I know you were digging Combiner Wars Devastator.
Yeah,
when we saw him.
So now I think it's garbage.
He showed up at the 32nd ABRIN Latin America Toy Show. And I guess he showed up completely crap-faced drunk because, number one, he forgot to wear his shirt. His chest plate's just missing. And his right arm just looks like he put it on while he was getting out of the shower, because his right arm is kind of just exploded, but it's stuck on with its connection point, but it's also just kind of exploded. The upside of this is we can see a gentleman holding Devastator, and, you know, hey, Devastator's pretty big if an adult male is holding him. On the downside, Devastator looks completely drunk in all three of these pictures, especially the one where he is just sitting on a ledge with with his foot kind of backwards. And he's staring off into space like he's waking up. I've seen some people reacting to these photos going like, well, if this is what the toy looks like, then I don't want it. And I don't know what to tell them.
It's not going to look like that because the treads on the arm guys aren't going to be sticking off in every crazy direction.
Hey, look, it could look like that if you just, you know.
Yeah, if you mistransformed it and you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, if you transform him with your mouth, that's probably
what's
going
to happen.
Now,
the guy holding him looks like a very happy gentleman.
He's probably like, he's Devastator's buddy who's just trying
to
go like.
He's also drunk.
He's like, no, listen, all right, Mr. D is just, he's jet lagged, okay? He's welcome, he's happy for photo ops, you know, just no questions and no eye contact. Thank you. Mr. D is very happy to be here. He's big. It's nice to see a person holding the combined form because I'm getting that same helpful sense of scale that I got from that video of people handling long haul.
Yeah, it's about as tall as this guy's torso.
Yeah, like that's it's giving me a better sense, you know, like it's the size of a baby, legitimate baby.
The twist is this guy's also extremely short.
He's like 3 feet tall. Yeah, I think it's you know, it's looking nice and beefy, and I want to mess with one. I wish I could glean some more, you know, engineering, since this guy is both mistransformed and missing his chest plate, you know, so you can see what's up there. But he's so mistransformed up there, I actually can't tell how anything works.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Hook sits on top of Longhaul. Very similar to the original Devastator, which is kind of what I think everyone would have expected.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't think that's like an amazing... Oh, he doesn't have one of his hands either.
Oh, it's folded up. Yeah, you're right.
It's a cannon mode.
Well, his arm is just kind of half asleep, I think. Like, it's all just sort of falling off of him. It's attached, but like it's falling off of itself in a way.
Yeah, but you know, this stuff happens all the time. Catalog pictures and
yeah,
even convention displays, things aren't transformed right, and it almost seems like it's part of the process.
Yeah, we've got to get the really bad mistransformed pictures.
We get the super photoshopped official pictures, then we get the someone didn't know what they were doing pictures.
Yeah. Head sculpt looks really good in these, though. I'm just noticing now the close-up picture. It's looking really sharp. It looks really sharp even when atop a sloppy mess, so that's only a compliment.
I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm not too scared off by somebody who clearly made a mistake.
Hey, Seth. Some of your Transformers can look pretty bad if you don't transform them right. Some of the Transformers in your own home could look this bad.
Some of them do.
Oh, geez. I don't think I'm going over to California anytime soon.
Well, we don't want you here anyway.
The way you guys run your state with your sloppy Transformers,
No, we don't have any water, so just stay away.
Oh, no, I get... You guys should just, like, I don't know, if people from out of state come to your state and commit crimes, then the punishment should just be, listen, we're going to let you get away with it, but we're going to take all the water out of your body. Because you're 90% water, right? So
I'm for it.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. I see no problems with it.
A water balloon bylaw.
Yeah, there was, like, a big, like, scare story that went around a couple days ago that I guess somebody claimed that California will be completely out of water within a year. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. Well, BotCon 2016 in California. It's going to be a good time. But yeah, that's all I really got for this Devastator thing. He looks big. And it's nice to see some shots of somebody holding him, no matter what state he's in. Seth, have you got a new picture pick to open up a new picture pick section of this podcast?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, you know what's really popular in Japan?
What's really popular in Japan?
Pachinko machines.
God damn pachinko machines.
So there's an officially licensed movie transformer pachinko machine.
To be honest, I'm surprised it took till now. Like, it's a successful movie franchise. I figured there would be one already.
Yeah, gambling... Okay, licensed gambling machines. I find more entertaining than just, like, a generic slot machine.
Oh, man.
Like, I would much rather play Cheers or 1966 Batman, which are both slot machines I have played.
Yeah.
I won enough money to pay for my lunch last time I went to the casino here. Woo! And played the Dungeons and Dragons
slot
machine.
There is a gambling machine. I don't even know what game it is, but there's this live action series in Japan. It's like a franchise now called Garo. It's about like these dudes who fight hell monsters, and they dress up in like wolf themed golden armor and stuff. So they got a Garo. I think it might be a pachinko machine or some kind of gambling machine. But the machine is practically a piece of art. Like, it lights up, parts of it like transform. There's like a talking demon head in the middle of it somewhere or something. There's demo videos of the thing, and I'm like, I don't even care about the gambling side. I just want to watch that machine be played for a day. It looks amazing. The art of gambling machines can be pretty incredible.
Yeah, but some of the licenses that become slot machines can be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dungeons and Dragons or Batman. And it's... Yeah, so it's like I find it more interesting, but then I look at some of them and I'm like, what? Like, I don't know if it's still there, but the casino up here, they had a Canadian Playboy bunny slot machine.
Not my fault.
So it was Playboy, but it was specifically Canadian women.
All right.
Like, so where did, how, what, all right. So, yeah. I guess there's a Godzilla slot machine in Las Vegas. That I'm going to Las Vegas in November. I'm going to have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like a Transformers pachinko machine. And now I don't know much about pachinko. I know pachinko parlors are smoky dens and of like older men just watching lights and noise happen. There's a bunch of them, like, in San Francisco. Like, you'll be going through San Francisco, and you'll, like, pass one, and the door will kind of be open, and you'll just see rows and rows of machines. And then, like, four old Asian dudes smoking cigarettes outside.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so I have a pachinko story.
Is it, like, your hookah story?
A little bit.
Okay.
I was in Japan. This is when I went to Japan in high school. But my host family in one of the cities we went to took me to a pachinko parlor and just lied and got me in. Apparently a lot of the host families did that because they were super cool. But I played pachinko, and I was always curious, oh, what's pachinko? It looks so interesting. It looks like pinball, because there's little, you know, these little metal balls flying around in this machine. It's the most boring thing. So you have a little dial you turn, and the dial changes the pressure by which, or the force by which the little metal balls are shot. And you're just dumping new, like, that's what you're buying to play the game instead of, like, tokens. It's just bins of metal balls to dump into the machine. So you find the sweet spot on the machine. Like, you turn the dial to the point where the pachinko balls are all going to the right spot in, like, the pinball game. And then you just hold the dial in that spot and sit there until your balls all run out. And that's the whole game, is you sit there with your hand on a dial, making sure it doesn't move once you've moved it to the right place. And you stare. That's the whole game!
Yeah, I've never encountered, like, a full-blown, legit pachinko machine, but it seems like throughout my life I've encountered, like, toy ones in people's homes. And it just seems really boring. Like,
I don't know what... Like,
the most entertaining licensed slot machine I've ever played, within 10 minutes I'm like, I'm done with this. And this seems even more boring.
And the idea of, like, home pachinko, like, blows my mind. Because when you take away the part where you might win some money, you are just, you're turning a dial for, like, maybe a minute, and then you just sit there with your hand on the dial holding it in place. And that's it. And it's a recreational version of that? I don't even know what it would be. Like, you could get that out of going to your faucet, right? And see, you have one of those faucets where it's just, like, the one stick, you move left and right to, you know, change the heat. So you move it around till you find that perfect warmth, and then hold it there, then stand by your sink holding the faucet on for half an hour, and there, you played home pachinko. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, now, don't these, like, modern pachinko machines, like, have crazy LED screens and or LCD screens?
Yeah,
and
sometimes...
Because in these pictures, there's, like, all these characters.
Yeah, some of the ones I've watched on... I've watched some pachinko things on YouTube when they're, like, related to a franchise I like the Garo one, or there's, like, a King of Fighters one, I think. And
so you're going to skip the Transformer one?
There's a Fist of the North Star one. But, yeah, they'll like, have a weird, like, pseudo-video game involved where it just sort of screams at you, and I guess part of the fun is, like, oh, I want to watch all the cutscenes. If I keep playing, I'll see all the cutscenes. Or, I liked Fist of the North Star when I was a kid, and this thing yells, you know, you're already dead, so that's fun.
Well, when I was playing this Cheers pinball machine, I got enough norms. It's like the reels would have different characters.
Yeah.
And I got enough norms where I got a norm bonus that included playing, like, a 5-second clip of an episode of Cheers where Norm said something.
Does that result in a state? Okay, is there something in the machine?
That's what I want to see. Like, that's why.
Is there something in the machine called Norm Ball? Because there should be.
Well, no, because it's a slot machine.
Oh, I thought you said pinball.
I might have accidentally said pinball.
So I was going to say, if it's pinball, like, we can activate, like, Norm Ball multiplier mode or something that.
Where every time a ball shot out, everyone yelled Norm.
Yeah! Or Norm's face is just, like, actually spray painted onto each of the multi balls that shoot out or something.
That'd be good too. No, like, so when I'm playing, on the rare times that I am playing these licensed slot machines, I'm just waiting and hoping that I get some crazy thing to happen on the screen before I run out of however much money I've decided to lose that day.
Yeah. Like, you have $10. This is going to be the $10 gamble of, do I get to see funny stuff on the screen?
Right. And, like, I was about to just punch out on that D&D one, and then I hit some crazy bonus thing where all this stuff's going off, and it wasn't very cool. Like, it was barely a D&D license. Like, there's a dragon, but that's it. It wasn't like there was beholders and wizards and all this other cool stuff going on, but yeah. So all this crazy stuff happens. I'm not even sure what's going on, but when all is said and done, I had made back the money I had lost to that point and enough to cover the lunch we had just had. So I was like, nice. All right, now I'm punching out because I saw the crazy thing and now I'm moving on.
I just watch other people play those kind of things when I want to see some of the video content.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine there would be anything interesting in a Transformers live action movie pachinko machine, especially having seen the live action movie The Ride. Like, as far as, like, original CG shorts with movie models, I think I've really seen the tip of the top for that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
Unless, like, it plays out alternate scenes. Like, I noticed, like, Mudflap and Skids are characters in this. Maybe, like, if you select one of them, it'll play, like, some alternate cutscene where they are the ones who kill Sentinel Prime or something. Maybe. Probably not.
Probably not. But I would like to see a video of how this crazy ass thing works.
Yeah, especially if they got English voices for it. They probably didn't, but I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Well, my own new picture pick has nothing to do with gambling, unfortunately.
Ugh.
It's just toys. But we've got in-hand shots. Actually, the Defensor robots are now getting photos taken as well. But over on TFND, we got in-hand shots of Combiner Wars Cyclonus giving us our first look at the Galvatronus torso mode. And the arms and legs for Galvatronus are 2 aerial bots and 2 Stunicons, and this, you know, this gentleman had all of them, so he built the quote-unquote proper stock Galvatronus. I think it looks pretty cool. It's the Silver Bolt torso, which means that it's a pretty good torso, and the Galvatron head looks pretty neat. The crown is a lot bigger than the artwork had me thinking it would be, and that makes me happy. He's got those proper G1 Galvatron jowls going on. I really like how he turned out. I really would like to see a sweeps limb robot happen, it official or unofficial, but I think this turned out fine. The Cyclonus himself looks okay. Like, you know, for something that I would take as being G1 cartoon Cyclonus. It looks cool. I'm looking forward to messing with one. I think that the remolding turned out well.
I keep going back and forth on Cyclonus. Like, I'll go to, like, Big Bad Toy Store and see the pre-order listing, and then go, should I put a pre-order down? Maybe I'll keep thinking about it maybe later. And then I kind of cool off on the whole idea, and then I see new pictures like these, and then I start getting hyped up again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a good mold, and they changed it enough to where it doesn't just automatically feel like you're getting the same thing again.
The number of parts changed and unchanged both surprised me, because some parts on him that I thought were changed aren't, but then I noticed he has, like, a completely new, like, just Cyclonus has a new chest, which I somehow had missed this whole time, and the wings are definitely different. A whole lot of the jet mode is actually new components, the stuff that ends up on his back.
Well, like, the little fins that plug onto his forearms that he can then hold his knives, that's That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice little touch.
Yeah, I'm digging them. It looks like, I mean, they're now in hand with the kind of photos that we got for the first wave shortly before they became more available. Amazon just put up pre-orders for this wave, saying that they'll have it by mid-June. So Big Bad's still saying they're going to have it this month. I bet you it'll be early next month.
Yeah, slip down a lot.
But Combiner Wars is shooting out pretty hard and fast in a way that I think is only a positive thing. These first three waves, I think, are the biggest hype that they're going to have all year for Combiner Wars, because it's like just it's three teams that we recognize with some other stuff scattered in. Wave four is going to be a lot more weird and redeco-y, it sounds like. So I think they're starting off strong, just like, hey, first half of the year, punch, here we go. Have three gestalts you remember, and then it's convention time. I think it fits the hype train pretty well. But yeah, Galvatron has turned out pretty well, and I'm happy we got to see him, because I think it was kind of dumb that they at Toy Fair everything had to be all like weird and like, oh well, we can't show you the head yet. Or I mean, I hope that was just because the head wasn't ready for some reason or another. It's just nothing to hide. It's not. It better not be a spoiler of some kind, because I can't fathom a way where this would be good.
Well, it's probably like when they're promoting an upcoming video game where they want to leak out details to keep reigniting interest.
Oh yeah, they don't want to blow the wad like all up front.
Yeah, like we're not talking about multiplayer right now.
Yeah,
we're not talking about the head right now.
And speaking of the fiction side, we also got a look at Cyclonus' biography on the back of the box, where it implies that he's not really Decepticon or Autobot. He uses mind control to force members of either side of the war to become his limbs so he can sow chaos through the galaxy, which is kind of a neat bio for this kind of thing. It's an interesting way to play on the fact that he's able to use, you know, Autobots and Decepticons for limbs.
It makes me think that there won't be specific limbs for him.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, his bio is like, setting it all up.
His bio is, don't expect arms and legs that are specifically for him.
So I'm hoping that, you know, if it's not going to happen officially, it just needs to be one. It just needs to be a sweep who's like the Deluxes. And then, I could buy four of him, and I'll be set. Someone out there. Make me a sweep. But that's our new picture pick section, because we got another picture of toys, well, a video of toys that one could take stills from. To talk about, Seth, BotCon is doing its toy reveals in a very Easter fashion. Even though Easter, I think, is come and gone by now. I didn't really notice. But,
it has.
Well, there we go. They kicked this off by revealing Pack Rat, but we got a new reveal, which is the Muscle Battle Trap. The classic Duocon being done out of the Generation Springer mold and featuring a head sculpt that, if I understand the stuff I was seeing bouncing around in social media correctly, may or may not have been done by a fake busker who's done a whole lot of really well-received Shapeways work over the last while. I think this looks good. I like the Duocons. I think that the idea of taking a Duocon and just turning it into a triple changer with thematic alt modes works. The colors are fine. The head sculpt looks great. It looks like a good toy. They did a good job. I thought it was Beachcomber when we saw like the fuzzy picture on a webcam way back.
It still looks like Beachcomber.
Kind of, yeah. But it also looks a lot like Battletrap. I don't expect a lot of people to be psyched about Battletrap, because a lot of people don't care about the Duocons. It's a small but exclusive club. I still hope that a proper Duocon version of the character can happen, officially or unofficially, but this is a nice stopgap in the meantime. There's just a lot of good little touches on it, and the colors are right, and I really like the head. So it's a good piece of work. Seth, what do you think of Battletrap?
It's okay. It's, you know, it's one of those characters I'm not super aware of. One of those kind of obscure characters that came along like when I was fading out or kind of done with Transformers as a kid, and you know, it's fine. I mean, they did a good enough job, I suppose, to reference that character.
Yeah.
That still kind of looks like Beachcomber, but that's cool.
I'm happy it's not Beachcomber, because that, as much as I thought it looked like Beachcomber, I think this idea is a lot more engaging than
it
just
is.
Doing
I
Beachcomber.
Also think that, yeah, it would also be weird to do like a Voyager-sized triple changer Beachcomber.
Yeah.
I guess you could also say it's weird to make a Voyager-sized triple changer battle trap. But, I mean, you give a guy a blue head with big silver eyes, it's going to look like Beachcomber.
Yeah. But it turned out pretty well. And because this is our first time talking about the idea, Seth, what do you think about the style of reveal they are doing this year by both using YouTube and trying to do things in a more of a mystery reveal style than just like still images going up?
You know, can't fault them for trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
They could, maybe they'll do something that kind of works a little better next year. Like, sticking with the Easter egg thing, it's like, that's going to be relevant for a weekend. Then you're stuck with Easter eggs.
He gave me a real small hope that they were just going to do all their reveals over the course of like 14 days.
Uh-huh.
But they aren't. So,
anyway. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff I can nitpick about the videos. Like, in some ways, they're almost longer than they need to be, but could also be produced in a different way that would make them a little more engaging beyond the reveal. Like, the most interesting thing is the reveal, and then when you're done revealing it, and I don't know. Like, I don't want to trash on the thing because I got nothing to do with it, and it doesn't really affect my life at all. But
I'm imagining the scenario where it affects your life, and it's a pretty funny scenario.
My boss is yelling at me about it. Like, you're a Transformer fan. Why are they? I don't know. I have nothing to do with it.
I want to give them the props where it's due. Thank goodness they didn't try to transform the triple changer guy through all his modes on screen and waste a whole lot of time.
Yeah, you know, that's smart. But,
yeah,
you know, it's a first effort, like, doing this sort of a thing. So, you know, it took you a long time to get your videos to what they are now.
Yeah.
You know, it's learning them. They're learning. They're doing it.
Yeah,
At least they're doing it. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Who am I to criticize? I'm just sitting here.
Hands in the air. Last week I said, if I am going to treat it as though they are a new person on YouTube videotaping toys for the first time, it's pretty decent, you know, first effort, and hopefully it gets better. But yeah,
is the final reveal going to be who the mysterious guy is doing the videos?
The vid mystery. Is his name supposed to be Vid Mystery? Uh-huh. I never understand that, right? It sounds like Pete Sinclair.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's just Pete Sinclair. It's kind of weird to not just introduce yourself, but whatever. That's your choice. You know, anonymity.
Well, he's unveiling the mysterious toys, and so he's in character.
He's playing a character in this YouTube miniseries. Weird.
He's making it about the toys and not about him.
It's
maybe
true.
Some other YouTube video reviewers could take a page from that book.
I should just use a pseudonym when I'm on the internet. Stop using my real name. I can't help it. I was born with this name. Internet Personality Evangelist. My full name. Three names. It sounds like they're going to just continue with the weekly reveals, and I hope they just do more of them and finish this all as soon as possible. Anyway, Seth, we've got a listener question, and I set a bit of a precedent last week. I'm not sure if you heard last week's podcast as of yet.
Or do you continue to be salty about them collecting questions from Twitter?
Yeah, I had to get my little... my little thing in. We cleared through most of those, but I also started a precedent because I decided out of nowhere that, hey, if you call yourself a poncho contest winner, and you were, then sure, I'll bump your question up front. So we got one here from the DF, who was another poncho contest winner.
But not the poncho contest winner.
No, that was Crasis, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well,
that was the first time we met him, was at that BotCon where he collected his prize in person.
Since he's the one who hasn't submitted a question yet, I'm also going to be changing the rules now. If you're a Poncho Contest winner who has not yet used your Poncho Contest listener question chit to get your question bumped to the front, now you're going to have to produce a full audio segment for me that is your question. It can be no longer than 90 seconds, must be fully produced, clearly with at least three layers of audio. Just changing the rules here, but I think, you know, it's fair. It's for the better.
Did you notice he won the prize, but we lost because he's been part of our lives ever since?
Man, that's just rough. Just calling back to the last odd episode where we just came up with that whole segment about making his emotional state go left and right? Or are we just going for full down on this, like just smack him with a baseball bat?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Ongoing. It's a new segment in the odd episodes.
It's fun to start like silly beef with other podcasters because then I can listen to their shows like Moonbase 2 and then they respond to whatever dumb thing I said over here.
Speaking of Moonbase 2, did you hear about the Brontosaurus being real again?
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad about that.
Yeah.
Like I'd taken it back. I'd made it into something better than it used to be and now they're telling me I can't do that anymore.
Well, just to finish a point. So there's really no benefit in trashing Crasis because they ain't doing no more shows.
I keep forgetting about that.
But yeah, back to the Brontosaurus. Like a year ago, there was a thing where they figured out that the Triceratops was just a juvenile version of this other dinosaur. Mm-hmm. So then the story was like, Triceratops doesn't exist. It's this other dinosaur, just younger. So no more Triceratops. Now it's like whatever this other dinosaur name is. And it's nowhere near as iconic or rolls off the tongue as easily as Triceratops. And then people got upset. And then like a week later, scientists were like, okay, we're just going to call the adult version Triceratops because you all like that name better.
Yeah.
It's like, damn right.
I don't know. Paleontologists.
They don't know what they're talking about. They're just playing in the dirt and making up silly names.
Speaking of which, I recorded a thing with Mikey on the weekend.
Yeah, was he sitting in dirt?
Probably. I don't know what those guys do when they record, but we talked about some comic books. So, new installment
What comics? What were the comics?
We were talking about humanization of Transformers in current IDW comic books.
Weird.
So, the newest episode, whenever it goes up, of Mikey's Comic Basement, which I believe is a title I coined in the first episode of it, is going to be going up soon. Yeah, there's been three episodes now. Apparently, he got someone else in for the second one. So I was asking him, he said, do you want to record another episode of Comic Basement? And so I was like, I thought it was called Mikey's Comic Basement. And he said, well, I don't know if it's something, something, something. And I was like, no, I think it's called Mikey's Comic Basement if I'm on here again. Thank you.
Isn't there already a comic book podcast from that?
Yeah, but this is a special Mikey-centric one, where Mikey hosts...
He just cut the others out.
Yeah, he just brings in his own people, two times, that being me. And we sit in his virtual basement, and we started a lot of fires on that podcast, but I think it's going to be for the better. Talked about a whole lot of different social sects in the Transformers fandom. S-E-C-T-S, you smutty, weird people. Anyway, we got a listener question from the DF.
Okay, cool.
Which says, Dear Vangelus and the Podcast crew, a whole lot of umlauts in there. Listening to the latest podcast, I was shocked to learn that those of us among the prestigious Poncho Contest winner's inner circle, such as Floating Cat, somehow have special listener question privileges we can call upon once to bump us ahead in the queue? Well, as the illustrious and in bold second place winner of the WTF at TFW Poncho Contest, I was utterly unaware, since no mention of this perk was included in my official WTF at TFW Poncho Contest winner's information package registered trademark. Yeah, it's because it is a new stipulation, which is now changed. They must now be...
Well, he didn't check the updated EULA.
Yeah, you were supposed to click I agree.
Yeah, maybe he didn't download the firmware update.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we push out. we push it out. It's up to you on the user end to finish the transaction of information.
Yeah, you know? Just because you keep clicking download later isn't our problem.
Yeah, now your phone doesn't work. Whose fault is that?
Yeah, good job,
buddy.
Congratulations on bricking your phone by being lazy.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Anyway. Goes more on like to say.
Poncho contest, more like the Jerko contest.
Bunch of Jerko wearing Jerkos. With that in mind, I hope you will allow me to use my winner's privilege here to bump my listener question ahead in line, as it is somewhat timely. Oh, this guy's got timely questions to ask.
Oh, my question is time sensitive. It's so important.
All right, time is money, and his question is money. I will be attending my first ever TFCon this summer in Toronto, and one of the things I'm most excited about is the chance to meet many of those among my online TF collecting circle of friends from Twitter and beyond, but mostly Twitter, in person. However, I'm not sure what the proper etiquette is for introducing myself to someone from Twitter or TFW 2005 or where have you, if indeed there is any such etiquette. My question is this: what would you recommend is the best way to introduce oneself around at a convention when one recognizes folks they know from online interactions without coming off as weird or creepy? The very notion of approaching someone and saying out loud, "Hello, I'm at so-and-so, and I follow you on social media," seems like it would be terribly awkward. But I imagine there must be a way to go about it. Yours in kindest regards and good faith, the DF, official second place winner of the WTF and TFW Poncho Contest, registered trademark. Well, for you, Floating Cat and Crasis, specifically, you guys have a very special thing you can say, which is, "Hi, I won a place in the WTF and TFW Poncho Contest." And if you introduce yourself like that, in that tone, people will literally just take off their clothes and throw them at you. But, pretending that we're just, you know, in the context of the normals, the middle class. Seth, have you got any advice on going to your first convention and just introducing yourself when all you've known until then are internet pseudonyms?
Well, a really good icebreaker that always works is reach out to shake the person's hand. And when you do, have like a $20 bill folded up in the palm and then slip them the 20. Yeah. That's a good way to make friends right there. Classy.
At least temporary friends.
Yeah. For, you know, hot minute.
Eventually they'll spend that $20.
Yeah, it's easier if you've already established, like, an online rapport with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've already, like, been messaging back and forth on Twitter or something, so there's some frame of reference. If you've just been silently following somebody for a while, I can imagine that's a little more awkward. But, yeah, I mean, really, I don't know. You just start talking to people. That's what cons are kind of for.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some don'ts, you know, don't run up to someone and start screaming at them, or don't, you know, run up behind somebody and then, like, bear hug them or something. You know, don't terrify people.
Or if you see a couple people, they're already, like, kind of standing around talking, and then you're just sort of hovering on the edge for like a really long time.
Say something.
Comes off really weird. Yeah, maybe catch somebody on the fly or something, like, "Oh, hey man, like, I'm blah 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 on the Twitter." And
or if you want to hover, but in a way that doesn't make you stand out or make things seem creepy, this is my classic hovering technique, because I'm a classic wallflower. Don't hover by standing still. Just, you know, find reasons to walk past a group and maybe slow down briefly and listen to what they're talking about to see if they're actually people that you know or not. But, you know, just busy yourself with something. Just walk by, like, "Oh, I'm just checking my phone. What are they talking about? Oh, no, they're not the people I thought. Okay, well, just keep walking." That's one of my classic techniques, because, you know what? The human social machine is a complete mess, and it's ridiculous, because we all want the same thing, but there are all these like, completely reasonable ideas of how to play in the machine that everyone who knows each other goes like, "Oh, look at this freak weirdo." And it's dumb. If you want the classic introduction, that as far as I've a couple of years now have seen work all the time, you just walk up to someone and say, "Excuse me. Hi, my name is this. I'm this on Twitter. Are you this on the internet?" And if they're not, then you go like, "Oh, I thought you were. Oh, sorry about that. I'll just move along." If they are, then hey, you introduce yourself. You, like, "Hi, I'm Steve. I'm at the butt flap on Twitter." That introduction I've heard hundreds of times, and it always works. You don't have to throw in your real name if you don't want to. You can just say, "Hi, I'm the some or other on Twitter." And usually that's fine. If someone doesn't know your name, then they might just go like, oh, I don't know you. Like, oh, yeah, I follow these people and these people, and I've seen you talking to them on Twitter. If you say, I've seen you talking to them on Twitter, I don't know anyone who would get freaked out by that, because Twitter is a public communication medium, and people will see your conversations on Twitter. Maybe, okay, dear listener, if you're out there, if that freaks you out, I don't know how to tell you this, you might want to lock your Twitter, because I can go to your Twitter right now and I can see everything you're saying. But as Seth, I don't know about you, but that introduction I've heard a whole lot, and it always seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, and like another kind of easy entrance into starting up a conversation is like if you're at a panel and the panel hasn't started yet and people are just sort of like sitting around waiting for it to start, and you're sitting next to somebody and they got like, say, Voyager Combiner Wars Cyclonus just came out and they happen to have one, you go, oh, it's, man, you got those Cyclonus? And they go, yeah, I picked it up. And they go, oh, man, that's sweet. Can I take a quick look at it? And they go, okay, cool. And then now you have something of common interest to talk about. Also, if you are of legal drinking age, just go to like the bar at the hotel. There's going to be a bunch of people there. Yeah. And then, you know, like get a few drinks in and everyone's loosened up and kind of that takes away that social anxiety that, you know, everyone kind of has.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, man, what's going on? This is awesome, right? And then you just start, like, hanging out.
And just speaking for myself, if you see me just sitting in a chair staring off into space, feel free to come up and say hello. Because if I'm sitting in a chair staring off into space, I'm probably totally ready to talk to whoever. If I'm running through a hallway or something, or I'm, like, staring intently at something while carrying a piece of equipment that I'm about to throw at it or something like that, I'm probably busy doing something. But I like talking to people at conventions. I like talking to people so much that it irritates a lot of people around me. Go and ask Aaron what it's like to try to get me to go from room A to room B. It's troublesome. So I'm always up for talking to whoever, you know, if you see me at a convention. And I try my best. I'm real bad at it, but I try to remember that because of that, I am in a position where I can then introduce people to other people and say, hey, do you know this guy on Twitter? Because this is him right here. Look, he's a real human being. He's not a space creature. And that's the start of a conversation right there. If you're worried about coming off as a creep, usually that means that you have the right kind of intentions and you probably aren't a creep.
Yeah, and you could usually tell pretty quickly if somebody's not interested in having a conversation. They go, oh, hey, man, is that a whatever they're holding? And then they're just like, yeah, then, you know, move on.
Yeah, and if you want to move on smoothly, just go like, cool, and, you know, nod, smile, walk off.
Well, it's just like meeting a girl. Like, you say hi to 10 people and one of them says hi back and you have a conversation and 9 people are just either more awkward and socially inept than you or busy or something. And I don't know. I've found conventions to be very inviting and welcoming. And
yeah, they are in general. The thing that I've learned that can help is also the convention is inviting and welcoming. Some people, you know, online might be very reserved at a convention. I've noticed that too. And if you really are intent on talking to one person, sometimes they might just be kind of like a little, they might be shy about meeting new people and it might take a while. And if it does, don't get bummed out, because there's still like hundreds of other people to meet, and then eventually you might cross paths again and moods will be different. So just go and have a good time, and don't be afraid to meet people you've never met online, because you might just make some good friends there too. You're all there for the same reason. You're all a bunch of nerds who like Transformers, whether or not you want to say you're a bunch of nerds who like Transformers. And
At TFCon Chicago, like, I didn't know Graham from nothing. And
yeah,
he was just part of the group, and that's how we met Empire. He just happened to be near us in line. So
TFCon Chicago,
it's just going to work out.
That also had that wonderful lobby where it was super easy to just like grab a bunch of huge comfy chairs and sit around for a while.
Yeah.
That lobby was fantastic.
It was very big.
I liked it. But yeah, I hope that answered your question. It's always hard. No matter how many years I go to conventions, it's someone is always having a really hard time going to their first one, and it's real hard. It's really hard to give sound advice. I'm finding like you know, the advice I would give a couple years ago that I'd be like, this will always work. It actually doesn't always work. So I think a big part of it is just don't be terrified that things might not socially work out when you introduce yourself to someone. For most people who are worth your time, one failed introduction will not sully what could be a fruitful conversation. But if it does, then go find another conversation. It might be better than the one you thought you were going to have in the first place. Just be cool, be chill, and like they say in improv, be prepared to fail. Because that's what will lead to wonderful memories.
Yeah, and then don't let it bug you if you do.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yo, if you fail, I don't know about everyone else, me speaking for myself, you or anyone out there who's listening, if you fail, I don't care. Because I've failed plenty of times.
Keep your problems to yourself. I don't care.
Well, that's not what I meant. But yeah, keep your problems to yourself too, Jesus. But I don't know. Like, I'm not going to think less of you if it doesn't work. I don't know who you are out there. Short of you, like, murdering someone to get everyone's attention, which you shouldn't do because that's illegal. I'm not going to hold it over your head for years to come if I find out, oh, you're the guy who puked when someone said, is that Masterpiece Prime? Like, I'll probably want to talk to you because that'd be a really cool story because that's memorable stuff. But, you know, no one who's worth your time is going to turn you into just like a running joke if you as a person make clear you wish to also interact with other people as a human being. That's the whole crux of social everything, you know? Anyway, have fun at conventions and don't make other people feel bad about trying to have fun at conventions. I hope that answered your listener question, the DF, because
we are done answering.
Yes, we have literally run out of answer for your question. We're going to take a little intermission break. Then we're going to come back and we've actually got stuff to talk about for what we got this week. Yo. So,
yo, dog.
Yeah, that's right. Fat stacks. Yeah. Talk to you guys after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Tomiko. Dr. Mengele is getting away in his Battlesaurus Tyrannocopter. Here comes Rapid Fire with the Danger Zooka.
Yeah! Danger damage!
Dr. Mengele uses the Evolution Chamber to evolve into Deluxe Nazisaurus with Sonar Exoskeleton Attachment. Good thing Pierre brought his cocktail cannon to the Nazi party.
Chill out, my friend!
I'll get you, Danger Fire!
Vacation Pierre, Rock and Roll Mengele, Deluxe Nazisaurus with Sonar Exoskeleton Attachment, Evolution Chamber, Battlesaurus, and Rapid Fire, each sold separately from Tomiko.
Hey, everyone, we're back. Wrestling. Hi, Seth.
Hi. Armbar.
Fujiwara armbar.
Have you ever seen Chris Jericho's in-ring promo from WCW where he was reading the list of moves?
I saw that live on TV, I think.
Man, that's so funny. So I'm listening to the Jericho podcast, and he announces that he's selling some new shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is an armbar shirt.
All right.
So I go to the website. And I'm like, I kind of want a shirt that just has armbar on it. and then I see the design and it says armbar real big. But before the word armbar, there's a hashtag. And then underneath it says Chris Jericho. And then I was like, I don't want a shirt that says Chris Jericho or has a hashtag on it.
No, it should just, there should be like a Velcro strip so you can add prefixes to armbar. Like fisherman's armbar or Canadian armbar.
Yeah, I just, the fact that it was hashtag armbar really bummed me out.
That shirt will look so dumb in like a couple years if Twitter ever moves on.
I'm going to say it looks so dumb right now.
Yeah, that too. It's called a pound sign. Thank you. What we got this week? Seth, did you get any Transformers this week?
I got an armbar. I got a few Transformers. I shipped a pile of loot. Ooh. I haven't opened everything yet, so I'm only going to talk about what I've opened.
I got a Transformer as well, and I'm not sure if you opened him, so we'll just go with you first. I mean, if it happens, it happens.
I got, well, is it a masterpiece?
It is.
I got Star Saber.
I did too.
Star Sibber, as I like to call him.
Yeah. Joseph
Sibberman.
Mr. Star Saberman. I think he's a pretty cool toy.
Yeah, I really like it. Like, I'm most likely never going to get a vintage Star Saber, because to get one in the condition I would want one in is going to be more money than I'm willing to spend.
It's a bummer that he has white plastic, because that's a whole new level of stuff to watch out for.
Yep. It's very similar to, like, I would love a Grandus, but to get a Grandus in the condition I would want a Grandus in is more money than I'm willing to spend.
I'll never forget the dealer room table I saw who had, like, they had two mint in box Granduses at very, and like, it was at two different levels of whiteness. Uh-huh. And going from one that was kind of yellow to one that was bone white was a $200 premium. Just for the bone whiteness.
Yeah. I'm not terribly surprised.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really cool. And I don't know, maybe I'm a weirdo. I kind of like Saber, like the smaller robot, red jet, space jet, more than the full-blown combined Star Saber.
You are not alone. A lot of people I've seen on the boards and on Twitter have been saying the same thing. Not like everybody, but a sizable number of people have been really won over just by the Saber robot play pattern.
Yeah, and that's not to say I got problems with the full-blown combined Star Saber.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Saber on his own just seemed like a little more fun.
Well, he's compact, and he transforms super simple, and the parts forming part goes right onto his shoulder.
Yeah, and full-blown Star Saber is still impressive and awesome, but just maybe Saber's a little more fun. I don't know.
I've gone back and forth on that. I think I like Saber a bit more for transforming, but I like full Star Saber more for just playing with a robot.
Yeah. I like the crazy little arm that holds the Star Saber head in place.
Yeah.
For when in vehicle mode, how it you just open the little clip and detach it once you've popped the head on.
Yeah. I like that, but I also find, like, to get the head back off of Saber's head, you kind of have to tilt it forward.
Yeah.
And so you can't just re-clip it and pull it off, because it gets stuck on the forehead crest. And I was like, ah! Oh, this was like 99% there. I think that, like, having messed with it a whole lot, I think that it's a really, really well-thought-out complete package, to the point where it's so thought out that things like part storage really became a thing for me. Like, I had to figure out a way to store all of his parts inside of him, because there were so many clever spots for what was designed.
Uh-huh.
And I found through the boards, it is, and I found it's pretty safe too. You can actually store the long, like in one leg, the long sword handle, and the other leg, the small red sword handle. You can actually store them in his shins. There's enough space in his shins around the transformation hinges that you can just keep them in there, and they are pretty much safe. It's nice. Like, I have if I leave his shield and display stand stuff on one side, I can, like, store everything else on or in him. And it's kind of cool. It's hard to describe, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd have to go look at it to try to figure out what you're describing, but
yeah, I can't really put it, like, I'd have to just videotape it or something, which I will at some point.
The whole Brainmaster thing is still cool.
Yeah,
it's a fun little mechanical dealy boo that happens. Just, I don't know, the robot inside a robot, and then this other thing wrapped around is just, like, the nesting dollness of him is cool.
Yeah.
But I dig it.
Yeah, I also, handling him, I'm totally in the camp. I love how instead of paint apps, he just has different colored plastic for a lot of different parts, because I am so unafraid playing with him, and it's so nice to be unafraid to play with a big, expensive Transformer.
Well, the first time I'm putting folded up Saber in to make the chest, like, I wasn't sure how it went in and how much pressure I had to use to get it into place. and I was really kind of a little nervous.
Me too.
Because those wings are kind of folded in there, and I'm like, man, I don't want to push this thing too hard and then break these wings off. And so, yeah, I sort of gingerly was like probing, trying to see how it fit. And then finally, like, I got to push harder because nothing's happening. And like, pop. And okay, I think it's okay.
I was eyeballing that thing from a whole lot of angles and then like reading through the entire feedback thread. Just for some of the little things, just to make sure that I could do stuff.
Uh-huh.
I see how it has happened. It is kind of weird how there's a bit too much plastic on his antenna. So when you turn him into, you know, the vehicle mode and you have the antenna arranged properly, they kind of close up into a V shape.
Because the temples of the helmet push against the little tabs and.
Yeah, there's
force the antenna to turn inward.
There's corners basically that you can file off, and that it's supposed to work. I just need to look at them again, because the only worry I have about filing them off is that they are, I think, part of the superstructure around the C clip, and I'm not sure if filing them off makes that plastic too thin. So I kind of gotta stare at it for a bit, because it doesn't bug me too much. But I'm super impressed at how deceptively posable Star Saber is. In the arms, like, especially when I didn't know about this. I discovered by accident the unclippable swing hinge where you can have the entire arm assembly swing forwards so you can, like, you know, hug basically. And that, like, took him to a whole new level. I really like him. Like, the only problem I have with him posability wise is his ankle rockers are kind of junk. Like, they don't really do anything.
Yeah.
There's not enough room. He doesn't have trouble standing. I'm just like, I'm looking at them, and I'm like, everything else in this guy is so well designed. This part feels like old Transformers, but I'm not gonna hold it against him very much. There's so much else he does well. I have to play with him a whole bunch more to get more concrete thoughts, but I really like him. He's got definitely a couple little flaws here and there. I wouldn't call him a perfect Transformer, but I would call him one of the most playable masterpiece toys ever. He's meant to be played with. I wanted to throw this out there. Rider Strike on Twitter, who's been a listener to the show before, he made a tweet where he tagged Yuki, who's the designer of Masterpiece Star Saber, and he said, despite its high-end status, I'm so happy that @TFYuki kept in mind that it's a toy and a toy should be fun. Yuki actually replied to him in English and said, I would like to thank people who play the MP Star Saber as a toy. So Yuki-san, who designed it, he really did, it seems, he wants this thing to be playable. He wants this to be the Star Saber that we didn't have when we were kids, because we didn't even know who he was at the time. Or in the case of, you know, kids in Japan, the kids who couldn't afford Star Saber, or the ones who had him and lost him. He made this masterpiece Star Saber to be a toy first, and I think that's super cool.
Yeah. It's very cool. I'm glad to have it.
Yeah.
I was sort of, there was a point where I was like, I don't know if I should spend this much money right now.
Me too.
And then I was like, I don't want to be regretting it later, and just sort of bit the bullet.
And any other masterpiece, I would be like, I know I'll just find it at a toy show or whatever. Something about the Star Saber and being the fan voted one, I was like, what if they didn't make as many? Like, what if this was a more special kind of item?
We don't believe in the fans. trust them. Have you seen these idiots?
it's such a big and expensive masterpiece toy, too. I was like, this is the kind, like, you know, the Hasui cars, like Sideswipe and Prowl, like, they're smaller. Like, I could see big production runs happening, and they had licenses behind them. But Star Saber was, like, the nichest masterpiece they could possibly make right now. And I wasn't sure. To be honest, probably no danger whatsoever. He's still in stock at Big Bad, so whatever. But I'm glad to have him. I think all his play features are just wonderful. And once I found the slot on the inside of his fingers to hold his accessories in Star Saber mode, once I found that and figured out how it worked, I've had no trouble with him being able to hold stuff. It's a very well designed toy.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say right now. I'll have more to say whenever someone else gets it.
We all have it now, right?
I don't.
Everyone involved.
I don't.
TJ's got it. Does Aaron have it?
I don't know if Aaron's getting it. And we got to get D-Fuzz and we got to get D-Fuzz on here because he's getting one.
Do we?
I think we do. I need you guys to reunite for me. For full disclosure, I actually meant to say this at the top, but I forgot because we started doing stuff. But we set up this podcast about an hour and a half before it happened, and so I thought that was a bit short notice to go like, "Hey, you two, get in here," to either of our previous odd guest hosts. But I would like to get them on with Seth as well.
Yeah, no, yeah, I would. You know, I'm always cool with hanging out with Dan virtually or physically. And I have no problem with doing a show with Random Factor. Might be fun.
Yeah. But so yeah, this
he
is
knows this, his place.
This is a perfect
as long as he remembers his place.
This is a perfect example of this, how sometimes the show sort of just happens. And
yeah, because it was like, are we doing it today or tomorrow? And I was like, well, I'm getting off work late, but I know how late. I can't predict what tomorrow's gonna be. So and it's like, well, we could roll. We could go with the bad situation we know, or roll the dice, and maybe it'll be a better situation tomorrow.
And this was exacerbated by me in the morning thinking I should PM Seth, and then not PMing him until literally like 8 hours later when I realized I hadn't PM'd him yet.
Oh, and I've been meaning to PM you for a couple of days.
I was thinking about it for the last day and a half, and this morning I was like, I'll PM him. And then sometime between that and me taking a shower, I guess I just assumed I had, but I hadn't. And I realized that around like 7 or 8 o'clock my time, I think. And
well, I got to work and I had 186 cases of spices to break down, sort, and stock.
Spicy!
Yeah, man. I tell you, when you're right on the verge of an allergy attack, being in an unventilated room with hundreds of pounds of every spice you can imagine.
Pepper.
Pepper, cumin, chili powder, bay leaves whole and ground,
chili oregano. Chili powder smells rank when it's in mass. I'm going to say that right now. I like chili powder, but when you have too much of it.
In a room with about 68 different spices and no ventilation, everything's kind of rank. Man, it was a rough day for my sinuses. But I survived. Yeah, so I wasn't really thinking about anything else except for, I got to get this done so I could get out of this room.
Well, you made it here. And you talked about Star Saber, but did you get any other Transformers? You implied there were pluralizations to what you got this week.
Well, I got Motor Master and Blackjack, but I haven't had time to open them up yet.
Mm.
And the Wave 2 Deluxes are in my pile of loot now. So I should probably just ship those now to try to get them here in time so I could just have Menasor.
Yeah, just close the book on that, you know, get your Menasor together.
Because, like, I usually wait until I got, like, more stuff to ship. And right now it's just that, those deluxes and, I pre-ordered, what is it, Tamashii Effect Parts. Tamashii Effects Explosion Red.
I was super tempted by those because they look really fun.
Yeah. So I got those in a pile of loot. I'm just going to click it. Ship now.
There all right.
Go. And now live. I'll probably get an email tomorrow that like all this other stuff has entered my pile of loot. And I didn't save any time because it's going to take until Monday for this stuff to start moving anyway.
Yeah, multiple now,
actually,
deliveries.
It probably won't start moving until Tuesday.
You get that delivery high multiple times now.
Yay.
I still haven't secured a Motor Master for a price I want to pay.
So I've now seen Motor Master and Blackjack in a store.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have never seen Optimus Prime or Silverbolt.
That's so... Motor Master ships with Silverbolt. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, we went to the San Rafael Toys R Us, which is not the Toys R Us I usually go to. I usually go to Santa Rosa. But we were down in San Rafael, so we went, let's go to Toys R Us. And they had 3 Motor Masters. And I was like, too bad I shipped that pile of loot. Well, actually, it's once it's in the pile of loot, it's too late. It's like, too bad we didn't find this before it got to the pile of loot.
Can't you, I never try this, can't you cancel something in the pile of loot and it just turns into store credit?
I don't know.
I thought that's a thing.
I've never tried.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I just assume once it got there, you were stuck with it.
Yeah. I'll try that sometime.
And not only had I shipped it, but it was showing up that day.
Ah.
So, it's like, I actually found something. And I thought,
That's what it's I fine. Said.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's no big deal.
It's all good. There's no radiation. We're fine.
Can't find a Scarlet Witch anywhere, though.
I don't even. I saw a million Machine Men once, but I'm trying to just walk away from the 6-inch Marvel Legends because I find
that Hawkeye is the one I see a million of.
No, I've seen a bunch of him. Yeah. I think I saw a Scarlet Witch once. And then I was like, I wonder if this is rare. And then walked off. Like that time I saw another Storm. I should have got that other Storm. I found that Storm, that Jubilee Storm, is money. Yeah. I could have flipped that.
Oh, man.
I could have played the game.
I saw that Storm once. I thought that Storm was great. But I couldn't stand having dismembered Jubilee torso. And I really didn't want anything else from that wave.
Yeah.
So I passed on it. But I didn't know it was a money object.
I assume the Jubilee was, but I've noticed like Storm was the hard one to get, so Storm herself has become a money object too. Also, because it's a good Storm, I'm told. I don't have context.
I've noticed with these, it seems like these more recent 6-inch Marvel figures. I guess we're in off topic. What we got this week?
I'm all done for Transformers. I don't know.
Okay, we just became off topic.
All right.
It seems that the female Marvel characters are the hardest ones to find now. Like, I found Captain Marvel twice. I've seen her. Never seen Scarlet Witch. I've come across the new Spider-Man wave. None of the female characters from that. So it's almost like it's flipped where like, oh, we don't want to put girl characters into these boy lines because they clog up the shelves, like Slave Leia. And now it's like you can't find the female characters because they're the only ones anybody's buying.
Yeah. Well, especially in that Spider-Man wave, there's so many of them, and they all looked really well done.
Well, I think there's only 2 female characters in the current wave.
I thought there were 3. I might be misremembering the...
We might be talking about different waves.
Oh, God.
It's got the red Spider Woman and the Spider Girl.
Okay, for some reason I thought
the Hobgoblin is the Build-A-Figure.
Yeah, no, I'm mixing in the Green Goblin wave as well.
Yeah,
that's me. Too much aspartame. It's ruined my brain.
Oh no. Well, my girlfriend has broken the aspartame stranglehold. She hasn't had a diet soda in a couple of months now.
Oh man.
She almost gave in the other day. And I was like, don't, it's slippery slope. She goes, I just want a rum and coke. And I think rum and coke tastes better with diet. I'm like, slippery slope. This is how it starts.
Yeah. I just know that I get an endorphin release from the smell of freshly opened Coke Zero. So I'm just willingly engaging in substance abuse.
It's gross.
Hey, Seth. Speaking of off-topic, what we got this week, did you get anything off-topic this week?
Yeah, speaking of Marvel 6-inch figures, bam, I got a bunch.
All right.
So from the Odin / Old Thor wave,
yes,
I've gotten everything except for Scarlet Witch and Sentry.
I like what they did with the Build-A-Figure on that wave. That's a really nice way to make the variant, quote-unquote, figures actually worth picking up.
Yeah, except for I want Odin, I don't want Old Thor, and I need Scarlet Witch for the Odin head. And so Sentry doesn't seem too difficult to get your hands on. And then like on sites like Amazon, You could get Sentry for like normal price, but everyone's charging through the nose on Scarlet Witch. So until I get a Scarlet Witch, I'm not going to get a Sentry in case I never find Scarlet Witch for a decent price. Because then I'm just going to be stuck with arms I don't need and a character I don't really care about. And I already have a Sentry figure that I don't care about. I don't need two Sentries I don't care about unless I'm getting something out of it.
Yeah.
So I haven't assembled the parts that I do have because I don't want to like clip those Thor arms in and never be able to get them out again.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'm on the hunt for that. But the Captain Marvel is really good. It's like the current costume, which is kind of a throwback to her original costume.
Yeah, yeah. Looks a bit less more military.
Sexualized than her 90s, early 2000 costume.
Yeah.
Or late 80s through the 90s. Which I have one of also, and it's also a good figure. So when I got that Captain Marvel that came with Radioactive Man and Captain America, that was the Target exclusive, I complained that the upper part of her thighs are like smooth and then the rest of her thigh is sculpted muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with this one.
Oh, weird.
But I think the dark blue bodysuit kind of hides it a little better.
Yeah, I can see that.
It looks like a lot of the same parts just painted different.
Yeah.
It's probably all the same parts just painted different. And then, of course, a different head.
I saw that figure at the comic shop earlier this week, and I thought it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. It is. It's nice. And she comes with an optional mask head that she could swap off. Thor in that wave is huge. He's huge and heavy. And his elbows don't bend as far as I would like them to. They come just short of like 90 degrees. And it always bums me out when you can't fully bend an arm.
Yeah.
And no ankle tilts on Thor. What's up?
Is he old tooling? That's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the current costume. So it's more of a black than blue, and he doesn't have the crazy circles on his legs. He's all scowly. But it's alright. I mean, it's impressive how big and heavy he is.
Yeah. I saw him on a shelf. He fills out that box really nicely, too.
Yeah. He only doesn't leave much room for anything else.
Yeah.
Hawkeye's okay. I've never really been that high on Hawkeye. He holds his bow. He's all right.
As you do.
His little shoulder bits, like the brighter purple bit that like kind of goes over his shoulders and around his neck, bunches up kind of easy. I'm constantly finding I have to push it back down into place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's all like bunched up under his chin. Who else was in that wave? Iron Fist. White and gold Iron Fist instead of the typical green and yellow.
Yeah.
Comes with a whole bunch of hands. And like Iron Fist coming with all these different hands, Captain Marvel coming with a different head. It's like, you know, this is one of those cool things that the American toy market didn't do for so long and Japan did.
Yeah.
And it's I really like that the American toy market does optional heads and hands and stuff now.
Oh,
and effect parts. Like Scarlet Witch comes with effect parts.
And yeah.
And all that stuff's great.
DC Collectibles is leaning super into the alternate hand stuff now, kind of out of nowhere. And they're doing it really well, too.
And so I think that's all from that wave I got. Then I got a couple Star Wars Black 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Machine Man. I don't even know who Machine Man is.
You gotta read Next Wave.
He's a robot guy, and apparently he has Dulcim arms that stretch out.
You should read Next Wave. Go read Next Wave.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Bradders would say go read Next Wave.
Well, he says a lot of things.
I know, but he's right this time. That's all I'm saying. You should read Next Wave. You'll understand why Machine Man if you read Next Wave.
I probably won't, but thanks for the advice.
Next Wave. There's also not much of it. It's a very short miniseries from many years ago, but it's very important.
Whoops. I just dropped one of my Star Wars guys.
Oh, no!
Yeah, so all around here, Targets, Toys R Us's, in Sonoma County, Han, Slave Leia, Greedo.
Proper.
Go down to San Rafael, no Greedo, no Hans. Just straight Slave Leia's. It's a bummer. It's a complete online retailer line, it seems. But Pia tweeted a picture the other day where he found this current wave in the store, and I was like, "How did that happen? How'd you do that? What sort of wizardry is this?"
He lives near some Walmarts and Toys R Us's that I think are near a distro center or something, because he finds stuff super fast on shelves, and it's insane.
Huh.
I think he's explained it too before, because people have asked him like, "What magic stores do you live by?"
So I got Bossk and Han Solo disguised as a stormtrooper.
Nice.
Bossk's mouth open and closes, but I don't know if mine's just spongy or if it's the way it is. But it doesn't open as far as I would like it to. I should say it does, but then it sort of like spongy closes about halfway. So I don't know if that's an inherent problem or I just got one with a bad connection. I wonder if I could pop his jaw off and maybe there's some flash, mold flash in there or something getting in the way.
Yeah, dude, or probably soak his head in some boiling water, see if that, like, unsticks it a bit.
Yeah, so they got Bossk in this wave. They've already done Boba Fett. The wave after next is IG-88. And I want to say another bounty hunter.
Is it Dengar?
No. Should be.
I assume if they're going to do any more bounty hunters, it's probably Dengar.
It's Princess Leia in Bosch disguise.
Oh, right.
So, sort of a bounty hunter. And that's exactly the thing they needed to do with 6-inch Star Wars Black Label to keep me interested, is to start putting out the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Because I am a huge sucker for the bounty hunters. I will buy all the bounty hunters as long as they keep doing bounty hunters. They better not R2-D2 C-3PO this thing and not finish the bounty hunters. Because if they like wimp out before they get to Dengar, I'm going to be upset.
Especially if they do Forlom and Zuckuss first. That'd just be literally insulting.
They can do Forlom and Zuckuss first. I don't care. Just as long as they do all of them, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And was it the last time I was on? I talked about why I like Dengar.
I think we did. I know we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I must have been, because he was in that old Marvel comic and he was a total dirtbag.
Yeah.
So yeah, just don't the line. Just keep the line going until you hit all the bounty hunters and then have it fold up. Nobody's going to care after that. It's over. Yeah, so they're cool. Like, the whole Han Solo thing, like, just keep the helmet on. You got another stormtrooper for your little stormtrooper squad. Or take the helmet off and have it be Han Solo and reenact that one scene.
Yeah.
Where everything's fine. How are you? Going back to Marvel. I almost forgot. I got two other Marvel guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that Hobgoblin Spider-Man wave, we get to Toys R Us San Rafael, and they have all the figures from the wave except for the girls.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know what Anti-Venom is. I don't care.
Anti-Venom is after Eddie Brock lost the symbiote, but then wanted to be a hero again. He got some new symbiote, or it grew out of him, and it was like his inborn sense of heroism or something. I can't remember.
Great.
It's Eddie Brock.
Cool. If I find the girls, I might have to end up getting it anyway, because if I'm that close to completing a Build-A-Figure, then I'm going to have to build the figures are insidious.
By all accounts, that Hobgoblin's one of the best ones they've done from whatever.
It looks cool from the pictures.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find that wave now. to refresh my memory of what's all in it. Because I think... Oh, no. I'm thinking of the Thanos wave coming up.
Yeah, that Spider-Man wave is like... Daredevil's in it. And then Anti-Venom. And then a whole bunch of spider people.
Okay, well, I found it. Okay, yeah. So it's Spider-Man... Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Girl, Daredevil, Anti-Venom, and Spider-Woman. Which, I don't know. I don't think she looks that great. Unfortunately, this picture doesn't show what parts they come with. Arm, head. Okay, it looks like you got to get all of them to build Hobgoblin.
I think that's how it was set up.
So I'd have to find both girls. Like, I like the Spider-Girl design. I mean, it's very much just a Spider-Man costume, but I always thought it looked cool. Then if I get close enough, then I'll just get the rest of them. Oh, they didn't have the full wave because they didn't have Spider-Man 2099 either. So I just got the two of the three that I cared about at all. So I got Spider-Man and Daredevil. Daredevil's little batons are soft rubber and kind of bent. And I thought that was a little disappointing. And the way his little leg sheath for him hangs on his leg. Here, let me pull him out. The lower strap goes right over his knee joint. And it makes bending that leg weird. It kind of gets in the way a lot. And the upper strap is too tight to shove it up higher on his leg. So that strap is just kind of always going to be in the way of the knee. Otherwise, the sculpt's good. The articulation's good. He's Daredevil. Coming soon to Netflix.
Tomorrow.
Wearing just a black outfit.
Oh, did you not see the latest teaser?
No.
They have done a new teaser.
Okay. Does he eventually get into a red outfit?
The teaser is based on all those posters where it's like a close-up of his face with the city behind him. And it's him going through a number of looks.
Okay. Well, I was... Like, what I was hoping was... Like, so the... that one Daredevil series that Frank Miller did...
Yeah.
Way back when... Was very much kind of like Daredevil Year One. So there's the whole stretch of... Before he's like full-blown Daredevil and he's just wearing like black tracksuit or whatever. And that looks like what they're doing in the show. So I was just kind of hoping like, oh, this is how Daredevil's going to start. And then eventually he'll end up in more of a costume.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if that sounds like the way they're going, then that's great. Get him in a costume. The Spider-Man, I really like.
That pizza Spidey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he comes with a slice of pizza, and he comes with a head where his mask is partly rolled up, and he has the dopiest giant grin. And I'm probably never going to take that head off. And I'm only probably ever going to pose him in weird ways with his big, creepy grin. Because that head is great. I love how just stupid that head is. This big... crazy grin. I already posted a picture where the pizza slice is topping side down on the floor and he's face palming, and I said it is more tragic than that time Gwen Stacy fell.
Oh. Yeah, that whole wave, I think I said this before, that whole wave looks really good. Like I could live without Daredevil and Anti-Venom, but like I think they also look pretty good.
I like the Daredevil. I could live without Anti-Venom, but...
I've just never been a Daredevil guy, so it doesn't look bad. It's just like, I don't feel anything when I see Daredevil.
Yeah, I'm not a hardcore Daredevil fan, but I think Daredevil can be cool.
Yeah. I mean, this figure of him looks cool. I think Fake Eyes David has been tweeting a lot of pictures of him, too.
Yeah.
He tweeted a great picture where he put a ninja mask on his middle finger and then wrapped his hand up like a ninja and had his hand ninja hand fighting the Daredevil figure. Because remember, the ninjas are called...
Oh, yeah.
The hand.
He's been tweeting a lot of pictures.
He's friggin' stoked for Daredevil tomorrow.
I can imagine. Well, I look at a lot of his pictures, and he has, like, Daredevil putting his butt on all kinds of stuff. And then I just keep thinking, like, man, if he was doing that with the Spider-Man with the big crazy grin,
yes,
these pictures would be even funnier. But maybe he doesn't have that. Maybe he just likes Daredevil more. I don't know what his deal is. But, okay, so when I went looking at what parts the characters came with for that Spider-Man wave, I was confused with the Thanos wave, where the two female characters, you got a Hellcat and Spider-Woman, like classic old-school Spider-Woman. You can build a Thanos with only one of the female characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they both come with an arm and the head.
Yeah, it's like the older build-a-figure but boxed setup.
Yeah. So that's great if you don't feel like you need one of those two.
Yeah.
I would have been happier if you needed both of them but could skip Batroc the Leaper.
But it's Batroc. It's classic Batroc.
Yeah.
And everyone loves him ever since it seems the whole internet decided they all love Batroc the Leaper.
I bet most people who now seem to love him had no idea that there was a character called that until they were reading the, like, oh, did you know from Captain America Winter Soldier all these references? Here's a bunch of stuff from Captain America the Winter Soldier you probably didn't notice. This mercenary guy on the boat is this character from the comics. Ain't he crazy looking with his Wolverine mask and mustache?
Like, I like Batroc to a degree, when he, like, especially when he's written in a very self-aware way, but he was really one of those, like he was a very Deadpool kind of character, where it was like, you were kind of, it was pushed upon, I think, a lot of people that he's great, you all love him, right? And people were like, yeah, I guess I do like Batroc.
Yeah, I could also pass on another Iron Man.
I forgot there was an Iron Man in that wave. But there always is an Iron Man.
Yeah. And it looks like a movie-ish Captain America and a movie-ish Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I gotta decide if I want to go all in on that wave. Like, I would like a Thanos in that scale. But I don't know if I want Batroc and Iron Man. And I guess Hellcat is going to be in the Netflix series, in the Jessica Jones
episodes. Yeah, they're setting up a Defenders kind of setup, I think.
Yeah, so there could be renewed interest in Hellcat. Right now, I'm kind of like, Hellcat, whatever. I like that classic Spider-Woman costume. There's something just kind of ugly about it that I like.
The huge eyes or whatever.
I think it's like the yellow triangle on the head and then like the yellow shapes on her torso. I don't know. There's something awfully 70s about it. Like 70 superhero design. And then when they put her in other outfits, like the Symbite style outfit, whatever this new dark red one is. Like
dark red one's ultimate Spider-Woman, who is ultimate Jessica Drew, who is actually a clone of Peter Parker.
Now, did I hear correctly that Marvel was canceling the Ultimate line?
Yeah, Ultimate Universe is going to be gone, and it's going to be merged into 616 when they do Secret Wars.
No.
And basically, Ultimate Universe...
Is that how Wolverine comes back?
Well, Ultimate Universe at this point is basically just the Spider-Man title. So it's pretty much them taking like that Jessica Drew and Miles Morales and working them into 616. Because that's what everyone kind of wants, as far as I understand it, anyway.
What about Ultimate Wolverine? Bring in Ultimate Wolverine. Now Wolverine's back.
Isn't he dead?
Soul patch, the whole deal. Is he dead in Ultimates too?
I just assume he's dead in they killed a lot of people in Ultimates.
I don't know.
Like, Ultimate Universe kind of has been dead, and then they just have this Spider-Man title that's really popular. So it exists in the background of Ultimate Spider-Man, as I understand it.
Yeah, I was buying and reading the Ultimates trade paperbacks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some good stuff going on in there. But for the most part, the Ultimates universe was just like, eh.
You know, Ultimatum kind of ruined it pretty well.
It's like I grew up with the 616 continuity. So that's where all my history is.
I mean,
need to learn like this weird alternate universe history for all these characters.
I mean, Ultimatum really ruined it. They killed most of the superheroes that they had going on in Ultimatum in a flood.
Oh, a flood.
A lot of the X-Men died in a flood. Magneto basically said, did I tell you about Ultimatum?
No.
So Ultimatum was supposed to be their world-ending thing for Ultimates when they were going to kill it off already. And so, as I understand it, and I'm going to go right off the top of my head, so I'm going to get things wrong, but I remember it in a way that's more entertaining. So Magneto's really mad because Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, I think, got killed or something, and Magneto was all mad, so he went to visit Charles Xavier and then snapped his neck. Because it turns out you can do that if you sneak up behind a guy in a wheelchair. Just grab his head and twist it.
Yeah, especially when he's like the most powerful telepath in the universe.
Yeah, so Magneto killed him like that, and then Magneto caused a massive flood. A huge tidal wave, the Ultimatum Wave, which sort of just killed most of the X-Men, including Nightcrawler, which I thought was really weird, because can't he teleport? Yeah. And so a lot of the X-Men drowned. Some of the Fantastic Four cast drowned. And then in the ensuing...
Well, you'd think... Thing would just sink. He's screwed. Oh, he doesn't have a chance.
The Thing survived because Thing then went on to kill Ultimate Doctor Doom by squeezing his head.
All right.
And then
Human Torch get extinguished.
I think Human Torch died. I think he got drowned. I think. And then also Ultimate Doctor Strange died because he's like, I should do something. And then Ultimate Dormammu strangled him with his own cape until his head popped.
Well, it's like one of those things where you have these characters that have been around forever, and they're constantly wailing on each other and fighting, and nobody really gets really hurt. And then it's like the 86 Transformer movie, where now all of a sudden Megatron's just killing dudes left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Where I imagine, like, Prowl's last thought was, wow, I never got murdered by that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ultimatum also got creepy, because, like, Ultimate Wasp died in the flood. And Ultimate Hank Pym went looking for her, and he found her, and Ultimate Blob was literally eating her body, saying it tastes like chicken.
There's a lot of cannibalism in Ultimates.
And so Ultimate Hank Pym grew big into Giant Man, then picked up Ultimate Blob and bit his head off and spit it out. And then
there's a lot of cannibalism going on.
And then Ultimate Multiple Man jumped all over Ultimate Hank Pym, and Ultimate Hank Pym ran out into the ocean and then exploded.
Oh boy.
Ultimatum was a mess. And I was spectating it, and I was like, wow, you've ruined this. You've complete and they even at some point implied that Spider-Man died because like a building fell on him, but then they revealed he survived because it turns out Ultimate Spider-Man, like the guy who writes it, has like enough pull where he was like, look, you can ruin the Ultimate Universe, but you can't touch Spider-Man. So then Ultimates just sort of just became Spider-Man. And that's my revisionist history.
And then they're supposed to be undoing the DC.
Oh, New 52 experiment is over. They're doing another world crushing event where they're going. I don't even know what they're doing, but they're this world event.
Crisis on Infinite Infinites.
It's a crisis thing. And there's something I don't even know. I actually don't know. I have no idea. DC have really ruined it. Marvel, their thing they're doing with Secret Wars, it sounds like they're actually trying to, like, it seems like they've watched DC, like, you know, constantly just perpetually fall off a rooftop and have like written down a whole lot of notes of what not to do, from what I understand. Like, Secret Wars looks like it's actually going to be pretty decent.
I haven't really looked into what it's about.
It's like they're going to merge a bunch of the Marvel alternate dimensions together into like this new world called Battle World, but it's just going to be like, here's the continent, here's the 616 continent, here's the Ultimates continent, and it's all going to like smush together. And then going on from there, it's going to be like, we're going to just have some the intermingling. Survivors
come back to Earth, sort of a thing.
Oh, it's that's going to be Earth now, apparently. is going to be this Battle World. They're replacing Earth with Battle World. But don't worry, New York City's still there, which means the whole Marvel Universe is still there. And
so wasn't Battle World the name of the planet from the original Secret Wars?
It was.
That the Beyonder put together?
This whole thing's a big reference to that, as far as I understand.
Is it the Beyonder?
The Beyonder is gone as of Annihilation. I don't think it's the Beyonder. It's some other thing that's going on.
Well, I think that Beyonder was gone before that. Like, he got turned back. Like, I
refuse to check.
Silver Surfer issue? But, like, it might have been in a Silver Surfer, or it might have been in something else I read. This was, in the 90s or something, where it was, like, determined that the Beyonder was a cosmic cube that's powers got split up.
Something like that.
And, the Molecule Man had a fraction of it, and then the Beyonder was, the majority of it, and there might have been somebody else involved. And then it got reunited into a cosmic cube, and then cosmic cubes evolve into this other thing, and then that was gone. But he wasn't a real Beyonder anyway, because there are these other beings called Beyonders that are, even more powerful still.
Because I believe that the Beyonder from Secret Wars ended up in the Kiln, and then got dealt with in the preamble leading up to Annihilation. I forgot how he got dealt with. Or she.
Maybe
at that point, I can't remember.
Stop being a cube at some point.
Yeah. But basically, from what I understand, Secret Wars looks like it's got a lot more competency behind it than you might expect from a world-changing event thing. And some of the solicits for post-Secret Wars titles seem interesting. So,
I don't know. I think it's just risky when you decide, okay, we're fixing the continuity. Or we're merging continuities.
They're not fixing it. They're just all right, we're going to just
Well, they're merging stuff.
Yeah, they're going to take both their cakes and kind of just mush them together and then play with what happens for at least a year or two.
I don't know. Over the years, it seems like we've seen DC do this so many times.
That's the thing that made
because they've done it over and over. Crisis on Infinite Earths, and then they did another Crisis to fix what they kind of gave up on from the first time they fixed it. And then New DC's, 52 was supposed to fix everything, and then they're giving up on that.
DC's been a long train of half-cocked and misfired world universe events. And I think that's why I'm The feeling I get from Secret Wars is Marvel is going to try it, and they're going to try it in a way that's informed by the constant failures of DC. And I'm not trying to be a company man here. I don't care. But Secret Wars comes off as something that is very self-aware of what it could be as far as going wrong. So I don't know. I'm not going to jump in and read it all as it's coming out, but I'm going to keep up. I'm going to try to keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I always kind of liked the way Marvel tend to handle, or had been tending to handle, the potential overblown continuity where everything just the Fantastic Four getting their powers was the beginning of everything, superhero wise in that world, and that was about 5 years ago. It was always about 5 years ago.
Yeah. It looks like what they're going to do is continue with that approach. They're just going to run this as an event. They are saying that they want it to have lasting stuff, but all the title solicits look more like they're just creating a neat sandbox to play in for a bit, and they're going to just roll with whatever afterwards. So there's this, they are not making statements of to the level of cosmic finality that DC tends to make when they're hyping these things up.
Huh.
So I got a bit of a mild confidence in it. I mean, a friend of mine said it speaks to the nature of the big two right now, that it's a pleasant surprise that a massive company-wide event does not look like a complete disaster before it starts. that's now the pleasant surprise.
Well, DC unveiled the new Wonder Woman costume and everyone just started complaining. So it's...
Well, they also showed the new Batman, who looked like a mouse robot with a machine gun. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, if they handle it like they did the new 52,
where each department inside of DC gets to decide what continuity carries over and what doesn't, then it's just going to be a costume change for Batman and business as usual will carry on. Because in the New 52, they decided, okay, everything stays. And they really didn't change anything at all. They just drew the character slightly different. And then they went along with the what they did with all the former Robins.
I don't know.
I just don't know if there's a brilliant necessity for either of these things. What DC keeps goofing up or what Marvel's planning on doing.
I'm feeling like pleasantly ready to spectate Secret Wars. Whereas with the thing DC's doing, I feel like, all right, let's, you know, get back to a safe distance before two trains run into each other again.
Yeah, well, it seems to me if you want to salvage the two aspects of Ultimate Spider-Man that people care about, then just have those characters like fall through a dimensional rift or something.
That's more or less. And
they just plop into 616.
I think it's like, that's basically the crux of this whole thing. And they're like, well, let's write a bigger event around it so we can make more titles. But I think at the core, that seems to be the main... It feels like the main intent. Because there's no one else that isn't in 616 that is beloved enough outside of MC2 Spider-Girl, who apparently is going to have a story in Secret Wars, so that they're really covering all their bases. It's really just for a couple of, like, a handful of characters. But I'm also saying all this as someone who doesn't collect a lot of the books as they come out. I just read about what happens in them. Just gets back on track. Seth, is there any other off-topic, what you got stuff you wanted to talk about?
No.
Because I have a 6-inch figure that I picked up today that I'd like to talk about. It's a DC Comics figure.
And there is something crazy that I got, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say it's a DC figure and it's a Frank Miller figure, and I think we said both those things in the last little while.
Uh-oh.
So, this is from Mezco's new 112 Collective line. I got the diamond version of their Frank Miller Batman, who's in the blue costume with the yellow oval around his logo. And so this is a 112 scale figure. Done like with the intent is to take the Hot Toys style experience. Here's also someone who tweeted like four pictures of the one that I got to do like the Hot Toys style 1/6 high end figure, but you know, 1/12 scale, and also to make it be very playable. Apparently, like this figure is like the pet project of the guy who runs Mezco. Apparently, ever since the comic first came out, this has been like his long term. Like, I want to do this. I want to run a toy company and make the perfect Dark Knight Returns Batman. So this figure might be one of the best toys of 2015. I don't see a scenario where it isn't among the best toys of 2015. Unless the figure catches fire and explodes after I go to sleep tonight.
Well, some of this guy's Twitter pictures, the tailoring looks like it could have been better. Like... It looks like the inner arm to torso seems like there's a lot of... It doesn't look like it's cut up high enough.
That only happens... On mine, that only happens on the right arm when I lift it in a certain way. Because the body sock, like the tailoring... I would say the tailoring... It's hard to say because it's a body sock and a cape.
Mm-hmm.
But the tailoring feels better than 3A's portable scale stuff because it's tailored with a flexible.
Well, some of that stuff is too tight.
Yeah, this like the clothing on this Batman is tailored out of a flexible material, and it's tailored with a slight bit of looseness to allow for posability. And also the threading, the stitching on the tailoring in person anyway, is like really small and really unobtrusive. Also, this is the best action figure cape I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm a real picky person about action figure capes. And it's got technology on it that is making it the best action figure cape I've ever seen. So, it's well cut, for one thing. And then it has these, like, strips of, I think, heat-sealed vinyl on the inside of the cape to weigh it down so it hangs properly. But then it has, like, these strips of vinyl are also cut in very specific ways, so it doesn't just, like, hang properly, but it also naturally creases like Batman's cape tends to crease in comic books.
Uh-huh.
Like, it ripples with the fins at the bottom of the cape.
Yeah.
And it's all, in like, the technology I'm seeing here, I have never seen on an action figure cape before. Like, using this rubber or vinyl material that seems to be heat bonded in order to, like, subtly gravity shape the cape, rather than just sort of, like, you know, use a heavy material or just hope it hangs properly. It's incredibly well done, to the point where I think Mezco could make bank if they just manufacture capes like this and sell them on their own. Like, it's
cape pack.
There are a lot of toys of this scale that I would love to just put a cape like this onto.
Make, like, unofficial third party capes where you have to, like, come up with names that tip you off to what character it's meant for, but, like, Superior Man.
Yeah, or like Eyeball Android Who Avenges. Also, the body it's on is pretty decently posable. The only posability hindrances I've seen are he has double-jointed elbows that only really bend about 90 degrees total. And it's not the costume hindering it. It's actually the sculpted glove cuffs that sort of get in the way. But he's got like ratcheted double-jointed knees that work really well. They're a little Play Arts Kai, but they click really nicely. And the thing about this toy that I'm absolutely in love with is the mission statement of this line was to take like the high-end 1/6 figures like Hot Toys and make them at 1/12 scale, but this thing improves on the Hot Toys model in that the toy feels like it is designed with the knowledge that someone will also play with it and that it should survive being handled, which is an impression I do not always get from Hot Toys or high-end 1/6 stuff. There is an awareness that this will be handled and that it should survive that more than once in a lot of its construction. Like, the costume glides over the body. It does not get stuck in the joints. Like, it can crease into the joints, but it doesn't get caught or stuck inside joints. Everything, the materials all play with each other really well. I'm insanely impressed by this thing, and I really liked what I saw at New York Comic Con, but picking up the figure, I wanted to, you know, I know what can go wrong with a 1/6 figure of Batman who's in a body sock with a cape, like, just things that could bug me. And this figure feels fantastic. He's, like, weighty. I haven't even really messed with his accessories yet. Like, I've just been playing with the figure on his own with fists installed. And I really like it, and I am extremely excited for the Judge Dredd they're doing in this line later this year.
Well, it looks like it has more articulation than any 5 other Mezco figures put together.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of great, is it's like they've made all their money on, like, Breaking Bad statues and Universal Monsters things that don't really move, and it's like this was the long game plan. Like, apparently, I watched the Toy Pizza interview review they did on these, and apparently this was the dream project of the guy who runs Mezco, so it seems like maybe this was just his game plan, is we're going to create a toy company that makes fairly inexpensive to produce statuettes, and then it will all culminate in suddenly one of the best 6-inch figures that has ever been released. I don't know where this came from, and I really hope that the pet project nature of it doesn't mean that this Batman is going to be the best figure they ever do. I hope that, like, all this energy is in the Judge Dredd as well, and whatever else they do. Also, here's a picture of Gerodimus is kind of showing off how well the cape hangs. And here's a shot of the 4 variants. Basically, I ordered the Mezco EX variant way back when they put the pre-order up, and then Trent the Rainer got his black retail version and was gushing about it, and I had store credit at Big Bad, so I got the black retail version there. But then I was walking around town and I saw the diamond version for a really decent price at 401 Games, compared to the online prices where it seems to have sold out pretty well. And so I had the spare cash as of this morning. And so I thought, well, I'll pick that one up. So basically, outside of the one that's not for sale, I'm going to end up with all 3 variants of this. And I feel very okay about that. I really like this toy.
I like the darker ones over the light blue.
Yeah, like, I actually was checking stuff, because I haven't looked at Dark Knight Returns in a long time, and I was wondering where all these colors came from, and the light blue one is from the first half of the story, and then the retail version's from the second half, and I don't know what the Mezco one really is. The Mezco one looks like somewhere, it's like a different colorist working on the black and white one. Sorry, the black retail one.
So you said Geronimus got it from Big Bad?
No, I got the black retail one from Big Bad.
Can't find it on Big Bad.
I think it's sold out now.
All right. Well, usually they still have things listed and just says sold out.
Oh no, I saw it on there. If you like, I can't remember what I searched for. It's kind of hard because 112 is not always put in. All right, wait. Look for like collective Batman or something. But then Geronimus got the Mezco EX one. Oh yeah, because so the retail one comes with Batman has like an alternate boot you can swap in that has a pistol holstered in it. And then the one I got, the diamond one, doesn't have that, but it does come with an extra utility belt for his thigh, and then like the sniper rifle he used as a grappling gun. And then the Mezco EX blue version that's in the darker blue comes with all those accessories, so it's the only version that comes with everything. And then the black and white promo one comes with the least accessories because that was a thing they were just handing out at New York Toy Fair.
Hmm.
Anyway, whatever version, doesn't really matter. Just like if you see one and it's a decent price, it's an extremely well done figure. And it's also a really well done figure in the context of a world where there are 100,000 million Batman figures on the market. This one is a big standout. And it makes me really, really excited about, like, this 112 collective thing. Like, it doesn't have to be Batman. They've got other licenses. Judge Dredd's happening, too. And they've hinted that they can also do stuff like Universal Monsters or Thundercats or Breaking Bad in this style. And if they could do... Ooh. Yeah, they could do, like,
I just found it on Amazon, and I oohed at the price.
Yeah, I was looking on eBay at what eBay prices are like right now, and they're pretty... insane.
Amazon has the light blue one at 70 and the black one at 105.
75 was like the Big Bad retail on them, I think. 65 or 75. They're supposed to be about $75 each.
Yeah. Whoever's selling this black one on Amazon wants a lot more.
Yeah, well, there's a hype train on them right now. Because they are going over well with a lot of people. I just really like the awareness that it's a toy that is missing from a lot of high-end toys. Like, I like that Star Saber has that as well. Like, being an expensive toy that also displays that it knows that people will want to actually handle this thing more than once. Whereas, like, easy example, Hot Toys releases things that have, like, straight-up rubber shirts on that will disintegrate from hand oils. And I don't like the feeling of a toy having, like, feeling like a piece of food with an expiry date. It kind of bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really into this thing. Gonna mess around with it a whole lot more and then try to put together a video piece on it because I'm super impressed. Probably the best action figure I've seen so far this year. It's remarkable. And it's 112 scale. So if people like that... The thing is, it's 112 scale, but it's Frank Miller Batman. So he kind of looks like a human meatloaf. So he's 112 scale, but his physique does not match, like, anything on the market. So he doesn't really fit in with anybody.
So is this something only being sold online, or would you be able to find it at, like, a comic book store?
The light blue one with the yellow circle is one that ships through Diamond, so that should be at comic shops.
Gross.
And ostensibly the black retail one should be at comic shops, but I'm not sure. That one, they might have been sold out online before Diamond got any stock of it, or Diamond only
so
got
if it's
the
retail. Would it be anywhere?
Should be,
potentially.
Yeah, the black one, like just the regular black one, should be the one that's common and everywhere.
I'll just keep an eye out for it then.
Yeah,
maybe I'll get lucky and come across it somewhere.
Yeah, I think it, especially with you, like you've messed with a lot of like 112 scale things from more than one company. Like it, It seems like a thing that would be up your alley, unless you just don't like Batman. I'm not sure.
No, I got a bunch of different Batmans from different companies.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. Just they're all Mattel. I got a bunch of different Batmans at that scale.
I'm going to throw out there, this is better than any Mattel Batman I have ever seen. Yeah. But Mattel also were not making $75 Batman. So
yeah, 1/12 has become my scale of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited about what they were planning for this line, because they've shown like they're doing a vehicle, like a bike for Judge Dredd. And if they really can lean into this, like they could shake up the 1/12 market really well. Like companies that make toys with cloth capes are on friggin' notice, because this cape is fantastic. And there are lessons to be learned from this, and I hope that companies that make figures with capes are taking notes. I like a good cape, so I'm feeling good.
No, just like how Mezco's gone from like these fairly well sculpted statues and weird little keychain things to like now we're jumping all the way into the deep end
of
collectible, tailored collectible everything. Here we go,
and like good ones too, not like you know some kind of like freshman effort where you're like, well, that's real cute. You did a good job first try, real cute. Like, I know they've done posable figures before. A lot of people like their Hellboy stuff. But, like, their identity for years has kind of just been, like, nerd hummels. And so...
The Judge Dredd is sold out on Big Bad. Pre-order sold out.
Dang. That'll probably... Diamond will get something for it. I don't know. Hopefully Diamonds will just get the regular one, not some weird alternate colors thing. But...
Sylvester Stallone movie color.
Yeah. No helmet, Judge Dredd.
Comes with a Rob Schneider.
Yeah. But I wanna see what they
flooded with people trying to sell off their Rob Schneiders.
I wanna see what they do with vehicles in this line. Because like clearly they can do a figure. Like Judge Dredd's gonna be a very different figure. He's gonna have like a different body and he's not just in a body sock, so that'll be another test. I asked him because I assumed he was going to be the same body. And so they just picked like two grizzled old muscular dudes. But at New York Comic Con, they said they're not going to just stick heads on existing bodies if they don't think it works. Like they'd like to reuse Bucks, but they are going to have multiple Bucks for 1/12. And
they do it where it makes sense.
And then, like, I don't know. If they can open up some licenses, like with Universal Monsters, like a Dracula figure with this kind of cape would be amazing. A small, like, 6-inch Walter White with clothing tailored this well would be amazing.
If they did a posable Walter White, I would be soaked.
They've shown the Breaking Bad logo, not, like, saying they're gonna do one, but they have shown it as a thing that could happen in 1/12. And I really hope that they do it, because I know there's an audience for that.
Yeah, the first picture of the first Walter White they did, I was like, man, that looks amazing. And then the second picture, you got like a better look at it and you could see the complete, or not complete, but the near complete lack of any points of articulation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this is just a little statue, isn't it? What a bummer. Well, and then I saw them in person with the prices marked up ridiculously at Toys R Us. And I was like, oh, this is gross.
Well, like, they even just released, like, 12-inch Walter White, and it's just a 12-inch statue of Walter White with a hat you can take off.
Yeah.
And, like, that shipped with this Batman, and I'm like, I don't understand. Someone must be buying it. I don't get it. Anyway, I am tired, and I have gushed for too long. So, my apologies, everyone. Go check this thing out. It's really cool. Seth, you said you had some other thing when I started going on my weird, long, gush, shill nonsense about Batman.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The girlfriend and I bought a new car.
Hey!
So, brand new. This is a first for both of us, to buy a brand new car. Her old car was 25 years old. It was a 1990.
Drinking for 4 years.
Yeah, and she'd been talking about wanting a Honda CR-V pretty much for as long as I've known her. Like, every now and then, we would see a CR-V, and she goes, that's what I want. That's going to be my next car. That's what I want. So, we finally got around to, like, going to lots and doing test drives and figuring stuff out. So, and we checked out, like, other car companies and other types of car, too. Like, similar things, like, she was mostly fixed on, like, a crossover, which is, like, bigger than a regular car, but not as big as you typically consider an SUV to be.
Yeah.
So, like, we checked out the Nissan Rogue and this, like, hatchback variant of the Toyota Prius. And test drove a used 2014 CR-V. Sat in a used 2012 CR-V, test drove a 15, and then spent a good 2-3 weeks or so kind of discussing what we thought of all these different cars and deciding if we wanted to, like, check out the Mazda one or the this one or the that one, and weighing pros and cons of the different vehicles. Like, we just kept coming back to liking the CR-V the best. So we got an EX, which is like the second tier model up. It's not the bottom barrel one, but yeah. It sure ain't the touring model, which is the most expensive version. And it's great. Really like it. Comfortable. It's super quiet.
I saw on Twitter it's also got like video cameras so you can see things.
It has two video cameras.
Yeah.
One in the back mounted just above the license plate. That's your backup camera. And then one mounted on the passenger side side mirror that pops on when you make a right turn. So you kind of see what your clearance is on that side. It's really neat. And that back camera, the backup camera, has three settings. Like just a regular view, a fisheye view, and I forget what the third one was. But you could, like, switch that around.
Infrared.
And now, what's kind of a bummer is this model doesn't have the built-in navigation stuff. But they will sell you a cord that will let you plug your iPhone 5 or 6 in. And then you could download an app that lets you pump out the iPhone's mapping stuff and navigation to use on the screen in the car. But there's a problem. The app is $60.
Ew!
The cord, the little plug you do, is $150. And it's proprietary, so nobody else can make it.
Can't you just, like, turn on your GPS on your phone and, like, use vocal command or something?
Yeah, that's probably what we're gonna do.
Yeah. I don't understand why you need... Who would... Like, phones have speakerphone functionality, and you can yell at your phone, and you can say, Siri, take me somewhere, and Siri will start telling you things.
Well, it uses the screen and the dashboard to display the map, which is a larger screen than your phone. So that's nice.
I guess, yeah.
But that's a lot of money to get to use it. And what typically happens is, if we're going somewhere where we feel like we want maps, like I'm the navigator and I'm paying attention to the map and paying attention to where the turns are and making sure we know what's what and we're going the right way. So I think we're going to end up passing on the cable and maybe getting a TomTom or something if we really want a larger screen mounted on the dashboard or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's one of those things. Like, the Nissan Rogue had that at a similar price point, or had built-in navigation at a similar price point, but had other aspects that we weren't so into. And what was hilarious was, when we were test driving the Rogue, we're at this red light, and this van coming across the intersection in front of us, as it's passing in front of us, the driver has his window rolled all the way down, and he's like kind of hanging out the window at us as he's going by, shaking his head and going, "No, don't get it." I'm like, man, that dude's got beef with Nissan. But I thought it was hilarious. The Nissan dealer didn't notice or acted like he didn't notice. And the Honda dealer thought the story was hilarious. And the Toyota dealer was a cutthroat little creature that was trying to just like rob cars out of other lots to try to sell us. Because the in Petaluma, the Toyota and Honda dealers are owned by the same person.
Yeah.
So they can cross over in the two lots, and she's like running over to the Honda lot and seeing if she can like snatch a car off their lot to bring over to sell to us. And it's like, that's not how we want to do this. You're gross. We're not going to deal with you. Also, you're the only car dealer that didn't ask us what our names were or introduce themselves. Like, we didn't know what her name was until we were leaving. And she handed us a card. But she couldn't find her card, so she had to get a generic card and then write her name on it.
This is really my real name, trust me.
Yeah, but at one point I just named her Rebecca because she seemed like a Rebecca. For some reason, she just seemed like a Rebecca.
You should have just crossed her name out on the card after she gave it to you. You're like, your name is Rebecca.
Yeah, and then like all the other salesmen on the Toyota lots were like wearing suits and ties and like business clothes. And then she was just wearing like kind of regular clothes with a Toyota jacket.
Yeah.
And then like whenever she wasn't around and we had time to sort of talk amongst ourselves, I just kept like adding to this storyline that she didn't actually work there. And the other employees were constantly like having to chase her off. Like, damn it, Rebecca, we told you don't work here.
These aren't your cars.
Leave the customers alone. No, Toyota's the best.
I love Toyota.
We appreciate your enthusiasm, Rebecca, but you're not an employee.
I'm going to close the sale.
So yeah, she was a bummer. Yeah. So yeah, we got a car. That's great.
Congrats.
And we just picked it up like 2 days ago. And you know that new car smell thing?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that applies to the outside of cars, because the next morning the whole garage smelled of that new car smell, which is impressive because Banjo's pen that he spends the night in has a litter box in it, and usually the garage smells like the litter box, but the car smell overpowered the litter box smell.
You should bottle the car smell.
I think you could buy of chemical spray that is new car smell.
Yeah, but you could have like artisan new car smell. Like you bottle artisan. Hand-bottled artisan new car smell.
Okay. I will pitch that to the girlfriend and see if we could get a business model together or something.
Yeah, that one's for free.
But she's never liked the idea of taking her old car on extended length car drives because of its age. And she's really been wanting to go to IKEA. So I think we're going to IKEA soon. I've never been to an IKEA.
Oh, go and have the meatballs.
Yeah, that's what I understand. And we're most likely going to come back with at least one Detolf, because that seems to be the thing you're supposed to have if you're a toy collector.
Yeah, they're inexpensive. Billy bookshelves are good, too, and they have a new Billy door that's like a clear glass door. And I would almost say it's better than a Detolf.
I was going to say, if it doesn't have a door, then it ain't going to happen, because the whole point is to keep dust out.
Yeah, there's a new kind of glass door in the Billy. It's called like a Maligden or something that looks really cool. I need to get some.
So, are you saying it's the Billy bookshelf?
Yes, the Billy system. Billy bookshelves. They have all kinds
Malignant
of...
Malignant Billy.
It's a Billy Billy Mogdaglabine. It starts with an M, the door. But the bookshelf...
Malignant sounds like a medical problem.
These Billy's got some clear glass Malignant installations.
Gross.
You want to get some Malignant on your Billy. Well... If that's all that we got this week, then that's episode 351 of WTF and TFW. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again. I got to close this one up because I am getting progressively exponentially loopy. And I haven't
malignant.
I got a whole lot of malignant building up in my brain. I could go on another 45 minutes about this stupid Batman toy if you all want me to, but I won't. I'm going to cut it off here. Ask me anything about action figure games. I got lots I can tell you. But stay tuned. We'll be back again with some more Transformers talk and other talk here on WTF and TFW. Thank you, Seth, for joining me.
Thank you, my body, for not being diseased again.
Yeah. No, it's nice to have Seth back. We seem to be losing him often.
Well, this last sickness that knocked me off the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the third thing, like with only a couple days in between things that I had gotten. And like there was a stretch where I went over 5 years without calling in sick to work.
Yeah.
And now I've used up all but half of one sick day for this year. And when this third thing started up and it was clear that I was sick again, I was so angry. I was so very angry that I was sick again. And this was a sickness that keeps you on the toilet.
Yep.
And then switching from sitting to kneeling in front of said toilet back and forth for 3 days.
It's good exercise.
Yeah, and by the time that last episode, odd episode, was recording, like, all that had stopped. Like, I wasn't spending time on the toilet, but my appetite was still gone, and I was still trying to not be dehydrated. And, like, I think that day, I think all that I ate that day was, like, 2 Clif Bars and a handful of Goldfish crackers. So I was not in great shape.
Yeah.
And my throat was extremely hoarse at the time. So, or my voice, I should say. So,
well, I'm glad we've got you back for at least the time being. Hopefully you're all done for the next foreseeable future. It sounds like you've cashed in a lot of your chips for sickness.
Yeah, I need to be done.
Yeah, this is all fun. Good joke, guys. Real fun. Real funny joke. All the sick in a row. But we're done for now. Thank you all for tuning in. Goodbye.
Bye.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.